This is The Producers, a podcast. The biggest names in audio production, station sound, radio imaging, branding, and voiceover. Interviews, tips, tricks, advice. To be a part of the show, visit RyanOnTheRadio.com. Now, The Producers with Ryan Dreen.
Hey, Producers Podcast with Joe Cipriano, something I've been looking forward to for quite a while. And the intro will be short. In fact, this is the second time I'm recording it. I'll just keep a log of that, by the way. So whenever now I'm just going to leave it in here, and whenever you listen to an episode, you'll know how much of an idiot I am when it comes to recording the intros. Anyway, second try here. Joe Cipriano gets into his brand new book, Living on Air. Just a fun read. I got a digital, like a Kindle copy of it, except I'm using it on my Mac. Anyway, I got that a while ago, read through it, a lot of fun. Anyway, the audiobook is out, and boy, he and his team put a lot of effort into that. So before I hit play on the interview, which happened quite literally an hour or two ago from when I'm speaking now. Anyway, we make reference to him giving two copies of the audiobook away in the interview. I don't remember what I said. I blabbered probably, and we didn't really have a plan yet. Well, anyway, the plan is in place. It's very simple. It's a Twitter contest, a hashtag Twitter contest. But if you'd like to be entered, go to the page on my website, the Joe Cipriano interview page. It should be at the very tippy top of the podcast list, or click the podcast in the menu, Producers Podcast in the menu. And it should be the very first one, because I will not have another podcast out for at least another 3 or 4 weeks. And the due date for this one is the 23rd, so we can get it to you just in time for the holidays, the 23rd. Anyway, details on how to enter on the website, as I just said. So that's it for the intro. I mean, I'll come back and close it out at the end here, but I'm sorry. One other thing. I'm not going to redo it, though. I'm not going to do a take three. Joe provided some really cool clips of the audiobook, and I'm going to just post them on my website. It'll be a second post. It'll be a show notes post, but I'll have it linked within the podcast itself. So there'll be a link there. I learned a long time ago that if you put multiple audio files into a podcast, it really screws everyone's world up. So I won't do that. Anyway, check out the clips from the audiobook. You can tell they put a lot of work into it. Joe had a lot of fun doing it, obviously, but it's pretty interesting, and it'll give you a sample of what the book is. So that's pretty key. Anyway, that'd be it. I will say, in case you don't make it all the way through to the end or something, or you just right when Joe's done talking, you hit stop, that's fine. I'll say happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and thank you so much for supporting me and this podcast. And really, it's supporting the fine, talented folks across Earth that have anything to do with radio imaging, or voiceover. And again, it's a cool little family we've built. And I just thank you so much for supporting me, my site, what I do, and making this a fun thing to put out every month or so. So anyway, I'll say goodbye at the end of the podcast. But for right now, here is the one, the only Joe Cipriano. Now, this for me is an interview I think has been a long time coming. And, I'll just say, Mr. Joe Cipriano, Sip, thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Well, thanks, Ryan. You know, I'm a big fan of the podcast. I've listened to many, many, many podcasts of yours, so it's really fun to be here with you. And of course, you and I worked together for years.
Yes, yeah, I was going to say that. You know, you've been so generous with your time. It's like half of me, I haven't come to you yet because I know you're always giving interviews and you're always giving up your time. So I just didn't want to be, you know, yet another guy. but I think this is pretty opportune with this book you have out now and then these new iterations of it. So we have a lot to discuss with your book. But let me say, yes, I worked with Sip. When I made it to kind of the big time, the Market 5 big radio imaging job, Sip was the voice, and it was like going to the next level. You was like, okay, wow, you know, that's how it's done. So just thank you for your...
Thank you. And you did such great work there. We're talking about, is it okay to say KSCS is what we're talking about?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah.
And actually, I had two rounds there. I had a first time around, and it lasted maybe a couple of years. And then they made a change. And then for some reason, I guess a new PD came in or whatever, I came back again. So I got to work with you again. You were probably thinking I finally got rid of him, and now here he is back again.
Well, you know, I know you don't. I know you wouldn't. But that particular situation, while it was amazing for me and everyone who worked there, it was odd because I was there about 7 years. I think I completely re-imaged the station 8 or 9 times.
Wow.
You know, whether it be new brand, new voice, both. So they didn't quite know what, you know, it was an odd situation. But anyway.
Yeah, it was fun for me to do it because I don't do a lot of country stations. I had I had a couple up in Canada and I had one on the East Coast. But KSCS was the biggest that I had. So that was always fun. I wasn't sure if I was, you know, given enough for country, but I sure had fun doing it. It was a kick.
Yeah, nah, you were, and it was great sound you do. So you're obviously heard, let me just give a quick background, and then you can fill in some holes, but you're primarily known as a promo voice and one of the promo voices, and you've been on, I think at this point, I can't recall ABC, but certainly CBS, NBC, Fox, but have you done ABC work also?
You know, it's funny, I haven't in let's say, the past 20 years, but when I first started off in voiceover, the biggest gig I got in 1982 was the trailers for Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yes.
And that was huge. And then I started doing teen movies. And right around that time, ABC hired me to do Saturday morning cartoons. And I used to do the Bugs Bunny and Tweety show. ABC was my first network where I went in and I sat behind the microphone that Ernie Anderson used to sit behind, and Ernie was there, and, you know, it was really heady.
Yeah, that's funny you say that then, because, yeah, obviously I've known your work on all the other big, but that, because, in fact, I think a lot of people might think your start on promo work or on, you know, network television was Fox, but now you've just told us that's not actually true, but Fox was one of the big early deals for you, right?
Yeah, and, you know, radio played a huge part in that. I mean, I had been doing some work, like I said, you know, movie trailers and things like that, and I started to pick up some syndicated stuff and promos here and there, but I was doing pretty well. I had a good agent, but not enough to support myself, so I was the production guy at KISS FM after I had done a few radio stations in L.A., I don't think we have to get into all of that, but I got fired by some of the best radio stations in L.A. One, because the executive at CBS in New York hated my voice. This guy will never make it. Get him off our air. And the program director, Ed Scarborough, you know, he fought and fought and fought. And finally, he just had to let me go. I ended up at KISS. Jerry DeFrancesco worked on the AM. The AM went simulcast with the FM. I was out of work again. So I ended up doing a couple of weekend shifts and production 5 days a week, along with Ron Shapiro, and Mark Driscoll was there at the time, too.
Yeah.
And I was on the air one day filling in for Big Ron O'Brien doing the afternoon shift on KISS FM with an 11 share. I mean, it's like, wow, in Los Angeles. And it just so happened that this new head of marketing for a brand new network called Fox was driving home. He was stuck in traffic on the 405 freeway on his way to Simi Valley. He had an hour drive, and his only companion in the car was me on the radio. And I guess I was having a good show that day, because he listened to me for an hour and said, you know, this is a voice that could work at Fox. And that was 25 years ago. Boom.
Yeah.
that happened.
That's one of those stories. I think I first read that story in Rap Mag, and probably you did an interview with Jerry probably 02 or 03.
Yes.
That was the first I knew of you, but obviously many people have known of you for longer. But it's a great story. It's one of those, just those great stories. And
yeah, I mean, you never know. And that's what I love about radio, is you never know who's listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So before I get too far, let me bring up the book and also the website about the book if people want to go peruse while they're listening. Living on Air, Adventures in Broadcasting is the name of the book that we're going to discuss a little bit here. The best place to send them, is it livingonairbook.com? Is that a good starting place for
people? Yeah, you can buy it anywhere, you know, Barnes & Noble or Amazon. And of course, you know, it's for Kindle and Nook and iPads, and you can get all that stuff. But if I think it's the best place because we fulfill those orders here in L.A., and I sign every book and personalize it to whoever, you know, if you're sending it as a gift or to yourself or whatever. So I think that's the best place to get it.
Oh, that, absolutely it is. Oh, well, thank you again. We did a contest on my website a few weeks ago. There was one extremely happy Twitter follower that got a free copy. So that was nice of you.
And you know what? It was such a cool promotion. That was really awesome. I got a lot of play out of that on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they got the, you know, this internet, I think it's going to stick. So
I think you're right.
So let's talk about the book here. I mean, you already talked a little bit, a couple of your stories. First, let me just ask a general question or two. What era does this book sort of span? What era do you discuss throughout the book?
Yeah, it's a memoir, so I actually go all the way back to childhood and talking about my big Italian family and mm-hmm. what that was like, and there are some really funny stories in there. But really, the book starts in 1969 when I'm 14 years old and I have this passion for radio. And I think I mentioned to you before, Ryan, that the whole book, and I wrote it with my wife, Anne, and we spent 3.5 years on this book, is a love letter. It's my love letter to radio and mm-hmm. to an era that I absolutely cherish. Back when AM radio, AM Top 40 was king. And I was just a kid, a 14-year-old kid who used to listen to the big AMs skipping into Connecticut late at night. You know, I'd have a radio underneath my pillow and I'd listen to Super CFL out of Chicago and John Records Landecker, who, you know, he's got a book out and we've been trading things back and forth. He's such a cool guy. CKLW out of Detroit and WKBW out of Buffalo with Jackson Armstrong, WKBW Music, and WOWO out of Fort Wayne. And, you know, I just called my local disc jockey and told him I was interested in radio. So that's where it all starts in 1969, and that cool music and that era, that year was huge. You know, it's when we first walked on the moon, and Woodstock was that summer. There were just so many stories in the news in 69, and the music was amazing. So recreating that year and that era was fun. And then I just take it through my radio career and, you know, down to Washington, D.C. in the 70s, disco, and then back into Top 40 at Q107 in D.C., and then the move to Los Angeles, and the move into voiceover and all the different genres of voiceover. So it really covers a lot of different kind of genres of a career and a very wide time span. But it's something that translates into really any career, little tips and fun little stories. There are a lot of funny characters, as you know, Ryan, that you meet in broadcasting and in voiceover, yeah.
Some of the most interesting and mentally disturbed human beings on Earth work in radio,
yeah,
for sure.
Thank goodness. Yeah, it makes for a fun day.
let me ask you this. Voiceover versus radio human, you know, a radio jock or radio production guy or programmer or the voice talent of the world, who's going to enjoy this book more?
You know, it's so funny that you say that because I get a lot of Facebook, you know, messages and tweets and stuff like that and emails from the radio people. It's like, wow, I can't believe how my career was so much like your career. And mm-hmm. it is so highly relatable for just about everybody in radio, because for most of us, it started at an early age. And even if it didn't, you have similar experiences along the way. Pretty much we've all been let go at one time or another. We've all seen some pretty dark times. We've all seen some pretty cool times, you know, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. So it's highly relatable in that way. The voiceover people love it because it kind of shines a light on, what our business is. And also because I've been fortunate to work in promos, live announcing the Grammys and the Emmys, game shows, narration, a lot of different genres of voiceover. So then it kind of covers pretty much, not, I wouldn't say everything, but it covers a lot. So it's highly relatable in that way. So it goes either way. I find that the voiceover people really love hearing about the radio stuff as well and had no idea that I had that background. And of course, the radio people, a lot of folks are interested in voiceover and love getting the insights, you know, that I experienced in VO.
Since you released it, tell me something surprising about either a group or a person or a media outlet or, you know, some entity that you're surprised has gotten so into it or has you know, contacted you about it or has, you know, told you stories that it affected them because of your book.
Yeah, I think the thing that surprises me the most are the people who have no connection to radio and no connection to voiceover at all. They're just regular folks. And it's hard for people who aren't in either of those, you know, businesses to find out about the book, but they might have heard a friend talking about it, or they saw it on Facebook or something like that. And it's something that I touched on earlier. You know, careers are careers, and being successful in a career, I think, is a lot of hard work and being 100% committed, never giving up, never listening to the naysayers, because whenever you tell someone what your dreams are, unfortunately, there's always someone around who will say, you can't do that. You know, you have no chance. You live here. Mm-hmm. Or there are too many people that do that already, you know. So you can't take in that negativity. You have to believe in yourself. And, you know, I've talked about it before, Ryan, I think, and I talk about it in the book. I think the tipping point is, listen, you work on your skills no matter what career you're in. And you work hard at it, you get good at it, and you start believing in yourself. And really the tipping point is when you start to gain confidence in your mm-hmm. skills, confidence about yourself. People feel that when you walk into a room, and I'm not talking about arrogance or anything like that. It's a different sort of thing. Confidence in just knowing I can get this done. And people kind of, they can sense that, and it puts a lot of people at ease if you're going into an audition or you're going to talk to someone about a job or whatever. Having that real pure confidence about yourself really makes a difference. And so that was the big surprise to me, that folks yeah. that aren't in radio or in voiceover kind of picked up, you know, that kind of part of the book, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's actually not surprising, and you've got a lot of good play with it. I know it's been pushed out there everywhere, so you're getting some good support, and that's exciting.
Yeah.
I have two things in my head that I don't want to forget. One is I'm forgetting as well. Oh, yeah. Before I forget, that phone call, or at least that executive that was listening to you in the car way back when, and you may right. have answered this in the past, but had he not been listening to you, and had you never got that call to be on Fox that particular moment, where do you think everything would have gone for you? Do you think, you know, promo work would have never happened, or is it still something that you were destined to do? Would yeah. you have been like this old Grizzly radio guy? You know, where would you have been without that?
Boy, that's like the Jimmy Stewart movie, A Wonderful Life. You
yes.
know, if you weren't there. Or if
'Tis the season.
That, yeah. It's just, I have to say that it was definitely the golden gig and the job that led to so many other things that have happened to me. Mm-hmm. And when I go back to that time, I was happy. I had just been fired from Kiss AM. I somehow had cobbled together a 6-day work week doing production here and doing on-air fill-in and having a weekend shift and then doing some voiceover. So it came at a point that where it was I really needed it.
Yeah.
I had turned down some jobs. WLS in Chicago, LSFM had offered me an afternoon shift. And, you know, I talked about it with Ann and I said, I just don't want to give up. I just can't give up on this voice thing. And we've got to be here. And this was way before you could do ISDN. If you were going to do promos, you had to be in L.A. And,
yeah.
you know, I turned down a real nice job that would have been great. I had a new son who was just born in 1987, so he's only less than about a year old. My daughter was 3. And I just don't know. I would have kept going. I can say this. I would have kept going and kept trying. I would have never given up. I'm not that kind of guy who gives up. How long it would have taken or how my career would have gone, the path, I just don't know. But I do know that I wouldn't give up.
Yeah, that's great. Back to the book a little bit here. I think maybe you were leaning into this topic a little, but as far as the celebrity status of the voiceover artist, now you've been featured on some national television broadcasts. You've been live announcer, as you mentioned, but I mean actually on specials. And so there is a bit of a celebrity element. But do you find over time, and especially since you've now gone back on your life with this memoir, that there was any sort of, you know, peaks or valleys of this sort of celebrity voiceover element? Does it exist? Does it not? How do you think about that?
Well, you know, I always thought that being in radio was the beginning of that. I mean, we're mm-hmm. all kind of mini celebrities when you're on the air. I mean, I talk about it in the book as I'm growing up as a teenager. The jocks that were on my local AM Top 40 station, 1,000 watts during the day, 250 at night, they were the biggest celebrities that you could ever meet.
Yeah, and certainly. Yep.
They were superstars. If you stood on top of the tower for as far as you can see, they were superstars. And, of course, beyond that, we were nobodies. So mm-hmm. celebrity, you know, is sometimes geographical, I guess, as well. So yeah. that was my first taste of that, you know. And so there's that element of it. I think when you get into voiceovers and you start to work and people start to recognize your voice, and, you know, I was just so lucky that Fox did choose me to be their voice and did it for 20 years, that there's something about that voice. You always wonder what that person must look like. What is that? Who is that? Or maybe you don't even think about it. And the TV stations, some of the networks, local TV, they always trot out that story. And they would do it with on-air personalities during sweeps as well. You know, tonight, meet Ryan Dreen, you know, the guy from, you know, the radio station. And it's just a cool kind of thing, like, oh, wow, that's what he looks like. So that was kind of, if there is any celebrity attached mm-hmm. to it, it's like, it's that mysterious kind of thought, what does that guy or gal look like, you know? So yeah. I think there's that element to it, and that's why I've appeared on some of those shows, you know, along with Don LaFontaine and, you know,
sure.
many others.
Yeah, those are always fun. I just get curious about, you know, like you said, working in radio, you can see the different levels of celebrity that people have. And it's funny when, you know, you see the super inflated egos in the Market 268, you know, right. midday guy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the person like an Elvis Duran has no ego. And,
right.
you know,
exactly.
It's just
exactly.
it's funny to see how people react to it.
It's true. And you know, that's just a personal thing. That's a characteristic. That's a personality.
Yeah.
And you're right. You could, you know, you're going to have that with big stars, movie stars. They're going to be the great down to earth, real people.
Sure.
And then they're going to be the, you know, the guys that take themselves a little too seriously.
And I, by the way, I did not mean anything. I don't even know what Market 268 is. So if there's a midday guy who just thought I'm calling him out, I'm not.
I'm going to look that up right now, Ryan.
Yeah,
let's see.
Will too. I want to know who I just called out. Anyway, let's see here. So this book, I want to get to the audiobook side of it because this is obviously a pretty key element. I mean, there's audiobook. That industry has blown up in the last few decades even, really. But certainly the last few years with digital. Anyway, you have a great audiobook for this. Samples can be found on my website. There will be a special Joe Cipriano sample page. But tell me about the audiobook and why this is so exciting to you.
Well, you know, it was so obvious to me that, after I've worked so much on this book and I've told these stories in the book and I had so much fun writing them, that this is going to be a fun thing to read out loud, you know.
Yeah.
And I love reading excerpts from it when we do our book events. And we just came back from, we did one in New York and Washington, D.C. and in my hometown in Waterbury, Connecticut. But then when I decided, okay, we're going to do an audio book, we're going to do something that's a hybrid. I have a radio background. I love theater of the mind. So I wanted to create something that wasn't just your run-of-the-mill audiobook. I wanted it to be a hybrid audiobook, radio play, presentation, performance.
Yeah.
And, you know, because of my background, you know, much like yours, I love production. And so I wanted music and I wanted effects. And when I tell a story about me at 17 years of age in New York City at NBC Rockefeller Plaza and meeting Don Pardo in the studio for a game show. I wanted to recreate that. So I found some great partners. First of all, I was a little concerned about reading, you know, this audiobook, the unabridged is a 6-hour listen. So that was a 12-hour, you know, kind of job to record
sure.
it. So I was a little concerned that I might fall back on habits over that long period of time. I wanted somebody who was going to keep me in the moment and help direct me. stop me from maybe, you know, falling back on promo tricks and things like that. And so that was Maurice Tobias. And I thought, is there any way I can get Maurice? I have a great relationship with her. I've taken, you know, privates with her. So I sent her an email and she wrote back to me right away. She said, actually, that the request actually brought tears to her eyes and that she said, of course, I would love to do this. And so with her on board, I knew I wanted original music. I didn't want a bunch of needle drops. So Greg Chun, who is a great composer, he scores a lot of stuff. He helped me out with the Primetime Voices for Children album that we did, Twas the Night Before Christmas. And he did all the original music on that. So I called him, and I barely got it out of my mouth. And he said, yeah, of course. Are you kidding? I'd love to do that.
Greg Chun, you said? Where is he out of?
He's based here in Los Angeles, also a voiceover guy, very, very talented.
Cool.
And he's great. GregChun.com is where you can find him.
I know the next name you're going to mention, but I didn't know his name. So, yeah, I want to make sure. Cool.
The next name is I needed somebody who can pull this all together, had a great ear, and what I thought was is a great sound design. And that's AJ McKay.
Oh, yeah.
So, AJ, he was so wonderful. And let me tell you, for the amount of time it took me to read this book and get it to him, he had to edit it. And you know how it is when you're narrating. I mean, it's not an easy task. And there were a lot. I'm going to have to ask him sometime how many edits he had to make. I mean, thousands and thousands of edits.
Yeah. And let me cut you off just because I got to ask you. Now, obviously, you know how highly I think of you, but you're not exactly known as a narrator. I mean, you don't do a lot of long-form voiceover, right?
Right, exactly.
So
yeah.
On a scale of, you know, one to holy crap, how difficult was this task then for someone who has literally been speaking for money their entire life?
Yeah, it's very difficult. And, you know, I actually normally do, and what I'm speaking to you right now is my 416, the Sennheiser. I started doing some tests. I didn't like the way that it sounded, so I changed over to my Neumann U87, which was a much more fuller, really rich sound, which I really, really loved. I'd have to say, boy, I don't know if I could do an audiobook if it wasn't my, you know, something that I wrote. It's just so much work, and it's so overwhelming, and you know, as you're doing it, I like to, you know, achieve goals and move on.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would have working for hours. You know, I would work 45 minutes at a time, an hour at a time, in between doing sessions, things like that. And, you know, you've done, you know, a few hours of work, and you look, and I'm only three chapters in. It's like, oh, my gosh, this is unbelievable. And then I would worry that, God, am I going to kind of lose steam? I want to be as good at the beginning as I am in the middle and at the end. And that's where Maurice came in. And, you know, she had a lot of interesting tricks. You know, for example, most of the time she said, record at the same time every day.
Oh.
So I would kind of slot in like an 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Because your voice is, you know, it, different times of the day, maybe
absolutely,
your voice gets tired later on. In the morning, it's not in shape yet. So, you know, use that same time every day, which I thought was brilliant. But yeah, to answer your question, it's a lot of freaking work. And I loved it, every minute of it, but I usually speak in 15 and 30 second spurts.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Did you, I don't know if you're a big connoisseur of audiobook. Personally, I like to read the physical book. I read a ton, but I never quite got into them. But I've listened to a few, and there's a few, you know, the ones that I've heard are amazing. Did you have anyone that you kind of went and listened to for a little while to get some stylistic ideas or just to get some, you know, just...
Well, you know, there are great narrators like Scott Brick, who is a wonderful audiobook narrator. And
he's got to be one of the first names anyone will bring up, right?
Yeah. And I'm so fortunate to know him. I met him through Paul Pape. You know, Paul and I put together the Don LaFontaine Voiceover Lab.
And Paul's style, by the way.
You know what? Paul doing his political ads, they're absolutely beautiful. They're amazing.
Yeah.
He did a lot of the Obama campaign last year.
He's damn good. He's one of those guys that basically looks exactly like he sounds to me.
He does. Exactly. And through Paul, I met Scott, and you know, just as a friend, and he was very involved. Loves to support the lab, the Don LaFontaine Voiceover Lab. But when this came up, I talked to him about it, and wow, it was so great to get some insight from him. He had an online calculator that could tell me how many. I told him it's 60,000 words. He told me how long it's going to take me to do it. Mm-hmm. And he gave me some little tips like that. But as far as who to listen to, and I've listened to Scott, because it was an author narrator, I thought about that rather than a professional narrator reader. And I wanted to, it's my profession that I'm a voiceover actor, artist, whatever you want to call it. But I'm also the author of the book, and I'm telling my story. So I listen to a lot of authors. Like, I love Michael J. Fox's book. I've listened to that. I've actually listened to the Killing Kennedy and Killing Lincoln books. Not so much that I'm such a big fan of the author and his style, but I thought it was something that is worth listening to, and I enjoyed that, you know. So that was my focus, was to kind of center on, all right, this is an author reading his audiobook. And so I did some research on that and listened to those.
That's great. So the audiobook, you know, I did want to mention, I forgot to mention this before, you were kind enough to send me the digital version of the regular book with links all throughout, that link to tons of extra content that you can then, you know, sort of click to as you move along.
Right.
The audiobook, you have it all put together, like you said, kind of a big theatrical production. Overall, you know, first of all, that is available now, right? I actually forgot to double check that.
Yes, it is. It's available at audible.com and also iTunes and, you know, wherever audiobooks are sold.
Great. So have you gotten any feedback on it? Have, you know, people that have maybe consumed both the written version?
It just came out, and I have one friend who happened to listen to it. He said he couldn't stop. Jeff Hollis, cool, who I work with at CBS, he's one of the writer-producers, and he loved it and loved all of the production and what we did with it. And, you know, it's interesting. I, too, like you said, Ryan, I love reading, you know, the printed book. The e-book is really fun because, like you said, it has all these links. And these are real links, like air checks of me, air checks of friends, TV commercials that I talk about in the book. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of real stuff. But in the audiobook, I couldn't do that for clearance. I couldn't use music. I couldn't use, you know, there's a story about in the year 2525 and this local disc jockey talking over it. I couldn't use that, So it's a different experience. The ebook, you get the real deal of all these air checks and actual music and things like that. On the audiobook, we had to recreate a lot of stuff, which was just as much fun to do.
Okay, I did notice that. So I think people will hear that in some of the samples, actually. I think,
yes, exactly.
I won't give anything away, but I believe they will hear that in action.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, Ryan, I'm happy. I would love to give away a couple of the audiobooks to your listeners. So we ought to come up with a little something, whatever it would be. I'm happy to do that.
Yeah, you know, we'll keep it simple since Christmas is coming up. We want to do it quick, I think. So when I put this episode out, which will quite literally be tonight, you know, I'll put it in an email. However we do it, we'll get it done real fast here. Yeah.
Great. That's good.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just want to talk to you a little bit more about the industry. But again, livingonairbook.com, just for anybody who wants to hit that website again. There'll obviously be a link on my website on the podcast page for you.
And I'm really interested in hearing what production people, radio folks think of the audiobook. So I hope they will check that out. And
yeah,
I want that feedback, you know, good or bad. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, yeah. I think you agree. You've said it. Feedback is great, but sometimes, you know, the only positive feedback isn't necessarily best for us. You got to hear the—
Exactly. You want to hear the real deal. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You know what? Let me go to a coaching topic. I've had this come up. In fact, I've been interested myself from various angles of it, and people have brought this up on forums and whatnot. You brought up Maurice Tobias, who is, you know, about as top shelf as it gets, and I had her on the podcast. She's amazing. As far as though, choosing a coach, and you'll see some people that'll do, you know, phone sessions for a small amount of money. Then there's seminars. Then there's others that'll do in-person sessions for a lot of money. You know, there's so many choices and so many people that say they're coaches. Do you have some tips if someone doesn't maybe have Maurice Tobias money yet? How does one go about finding a good coach or a good coaching experience?
Yeah. You know what? For me, it would be a personal recommendation from someone, a friend, or maybe even reading something in one of the trades or online on Facebook. I have worked with Maurice, and I've done that over the years. But I also like working with other people because I think it's important to get, kind of a different take on what you're doing.
Yeah.
We all get so used to doing what we do, and it's nice to get some input from someone else and someone you don't normally work with. So I work with a lot of different people, even if I only do one session or two and do it over Skype or do it over, a phone patch or in person. It's just good to get that input. So what I do is I just listen to, friends who have worked with other coaches, and that's how I go about it. And
are you
I think
comfortable,
that's a smart way.
Are you comfortable giving out another name or two here at this point?
Sure. People that I've worked with David Lyerly, who is based in New York City. And he's great. Joyce Castellanos. I always have trouble saying her last name. Joyce is wonderful. She's based here in L.A. She was a promo room producer over at the WB and then the CW. She's been around. She's been an agent. She might be an agent now. I'm not sure. But I see Joyce from time to time. David Alden, who works at CBS as a post-production supervisor. We all do our reads, with the post-production people like, Scott
yeah.
Rummel and I and Ashton Smith and Reno Romano. Whenever we're doing our reads at any of the networks, we're reading with what we call a room producer, and they have different names, at different networks. But, somebody like that, Dave works with all of these different voices. So, you pick up something, you have insights. And I'm not looking for, something coming down from God, to give me the golden, key to all of this. I'm just looking for a little bit of input. I think for anybody who's working with a voice coach, that's pretty much all you want is someone to, guide you, give you some ideas, and you can take them or toss them, But it's good to get the input no matter what.
Yeah, definitely good tips. And I guess to me, what I think about, which would be sort of a nightmare scenario, is somebody getting locked in with a coach, especially for the younger talent that don't really know any better, mm-hmm. and literally get driven into the complete wrong end of the, of the city.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just, and that's real bad because they don't know they're getting told completely wrong, and they do it for
exactly.
weeks and weeks or,
Yeah. I think it's important, in everything. I think, not putting all your eggs in one basket, and it's true for my voiceover career. I learned that early on in radio as well, to diversify and have a lot of different jobs so that when you lose
yeah.
one, and you are going to lose one, it doesn't hurt as much. It always hurts to lose a job. And it's the same with this. I mean, if you kind of diversify and have a lot of input, I think that's good. It's something that you just mentioned. I happen to know a voiceover talent who was lamenting that, about the fact that he was working with this one coach and he had felt this coach had directed him into an area where he wasn't working anymore. He was doing very well in imaging for TV news, and this coach kind of pushed him in a new direction and he lost a lot of work. And
yeah.
it took him a long time to get back. So, you have to be very wary of that. And I think that, getting a lot, again, not to beat it to death, but getting a lot of input from different people, I think is very important.
And let me humanize you for a minute, because like I've, we've talked about some of your, you're wildly successful and everybody appreciates you. And, you're a good guy, Joe.
Oh, thanks, Ryan.
So I think it's good for people to hear. I know I talked to I think it was Jim Cutler that told a really interesting story like this. But on the other side of it, I'm sure people like you still lose gigs or have negative things happen. And it sometimes helps us to know this is the case, where it's not all just, roses and bubble gum and lollipops. So anyway, a story that you can relate or to show us to relate to of something that didn't work out quite well for you.
Well, you know, it's hard to pick one. And when you read the book, you'll get a real good sense of it. And there is a point that, you know, Ann and I were talking about the fact that, you know, what you just said is wonderful. Thank you. And I've been very lucky and I've had some success and all of that. But it's nowhere near the smooth ride that everybody thinks it is.
Yeah.
And you never get to a point where you're concerned or worried that you're suddenly going to have someone tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, how did you get in here? You know, I mean, that happens all the time. Mm. And throughout my career, I talk about it in the book that both broadcasting and voiceover, of the two careers that I chose, they're both roller coaster rides. And I hate roller coasters in real life.
Yes.
I don't go on roller coasters. I hate that feeling, the drop. And in my career, I've had that drop so many times. And one of the worst was really when, again, I say in the book, when people thought I had it all, and it was not that long ago, it was 2005, when I lost a huge gig that was just yanked from beneath me with one phone call. And I lost more than half my income. Mm. And, you know, wherever you are, what your income is, you know, okay, this, I can make the monthly nut here, and I've got the kids here. They're going to college. You know, when you lose, you know, 70%, 65% of your income, you're in big trouble. And I talk about it in the book. And just very quickly, when it happened, I was a book to go to New York City to speak on this panel for the book Secrets of Voiceover Success by Joan Baker. And we had all, a lot of us had written chapters from it talking about how we, you know, what our career paths were. And it was the last thing I felt. I did not feel like a success at all. I felt like a huge failure. And I was worried about, you know, what was next. But Don LaFontaine was the guy who got me to get involved with Joan's book, and he said, "Joey, you really need to do this," and I did it, you know. And Don was also going to New York, and when I got there, I was like really low, and Don knew it. He had heard the story, and he left and when I got off the plane, there was a message on my cell phone from Don, and he said, you know, he invited me to his hotel, and I went over there, and I kind of tell the story in the book, but, you know, essentially what it was when I got there, he gave me a big hug and he said, "Sit down, Joey," you know, and we started talking about it. And he said, "You're too good not to work. Don't let this affect you." Again, it's that kind of thing when negativity comes into your life and your career, you just have to redouble your efforts and keep going. So he really lifted me up and he said, you're going to continue to work. He said, "You know, the voice that you're speaking to me right now is nothing like your comedy voice that you do at Fox and CBS and all of the other outlets." He said, "I think you ought to explore that voice." And it's a lower register, and I never used it. So he inspired me. When I came back to Los Angeles, I found out that NBC was looking for a new drama voice in 2005. And I went into my studio and I made a drama demo, and I've never done that before. And I cobbled it together and I called my agent and I said, "Rita, you know, I want to go for that NBC drama gig." And she kind of laughed and she said, "Really? You know, you don't do drama." And I go, "Well, here's the demo." And she was blown away. And a lot of people that heard it had no idea that it was me. And but it was me. It was just this new kind of version, you know, utilizing different skills. And I ended up getting the job after, I don't know, you know, hundreds of hopefuls. And I did all of the dramas at NBC for about 2 years, from 2005 to 2008.
So. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate that story. And people can read, you know, obviously more details about it. I just think it's good for people to hear, you know, even the biggest of the big have these situations. And yeah, you can't let the negativity flood your life.
Exactly. Yeah. It happens to us throughout. Yeah.
That's funny that you say that, because when I got to KSCS, I obviously knew who you were. I was excited. And oftentimes I would say, "Hey, Joe, give me the ER read on this one."
That's right. You would do that, right?
And
that's right.
I loved how they would do it. They would have you read the promo lines for the comedy, and then it would be, "And next on ER." But it was just the exact same voice that would just change into the drama read. I always thought that was funny but effective.
Yeah, exactly. That's so funny. It's true. And, you know, it's I love doing those kind of, we call them combos when you do the combo reads. Yeah.
Okay.
That's funny. In fact, I just did a spot today. It's a radio spot for CBS for their new show. Oh, I wish I could remember the name of it. It starts off as a kind of a funny little scene. It's almost like a sports scene, and then it goes into this heavy drama. And we had so much fun doing it today. I don't know if it's going to go to finish, but, you know, we sure had fun doing it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I know we both have to get going quick. In fact, you have something coming up here in a few minutes.
I do.
I can't thank you enough, Joe. The book is great. I already checked out the written version, but I can't wait to listen. We'll come up with a cool way. We'll post it on my website, a cool way to give away a couple copies of the audio book. We'll make it really easy for everybody.
Great.
Livingonairbook.com. Are you pretty active on Twitter? I think you're Joe Sipp on Twitter, right?
I am. I'm Joe Sipp there, and also Living on Air Book on Twitter.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, Sipp. Well, thanks so much. I'll definitely catch up with you again, though, and maybe we'll get into some more detailed topics down the road, you know, really do a full-blown, like, promo episode or something like that.
Well, that would be very cool. I would love to do that. And like I said, I so enjoy listening to your podcasts, and I've heard a lot of friends on it, and I've also heard folks that work in production, and I'm so interested in that. And I love your interaction with them. And, you know, you guys are, you know, a band of brothers. And, you know, you know exactly what to ask. And I think it's fascinating. So
I appreciate that.
Congratulations on this. And, you know, keep it going. Don't ever stop it.
All right. I won't. I mean, as long as somebody lets me sit here and you know, talk to people, which I don't think anybody's stopping me. So I'll keep doing it.
That's great. That's good news. I like that.
All right. All right, Sipp, livingonairbook.com. Joe Cipriano, everyone, thank you so much, Sipp.
Thanks, Ryan. I really appreciate it.
All right, one more time, I will wrap up this episode with the one and only Sipp. I will thank the guest, as I learned that in podcasting school. Thank the guest. No. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cipriano for being on the podcast. And I will admit, this is take three of the outro because the last one, I just started rambling and getting all sappy about the year ending and wishing you a happy 2014, and I think I repeated myself 13 or 14 times. So, again, word economy, radio. Thanks to Sipp, I wanted to mention, I forgot to mention this at any point in the interview. We have his book website, which I think I've got out there 50 times, but joecipriano.com is how you can check out Sipp's work. And in case you are actually completely unaware of Joe and you're just getting this podcast somewhere besides my website, you're not actually seeing it written down. It's Cipriano. That's how you spell his name. So joecipriano.com. Great guy. And I know he's also one of those generous guys with his time. I get lots of emails asking for help in various facets of the business. And I know Joe does the same, and he's always there to help people. So anyway, that'll pretty much do it. Oh, I should mention the contest one more time. On the podcast page, the Joe Cipriano podcast episode page, will be information on how you can enter to win audiobooks. I said it at the beginning, but I'll say it again real quick. Go to that page. It'll be a Twitter contest, a specific hashtag. All you got to do is tweet, and then we will pick randomly two people Monday the 23rd. I don't know when on Monday because I'm traveling four times in the next week and a half. But anyway, Monday at some point, we will alert you via Twitter if you win. But anyway, go to the website to find out how to enter, all right? I will do a quick little sappy end. I had a great year with this podcast. Times got, you know, busy. They get busy for everyone. So sometimes I might have had lulls. I try not to go more than a month between episodes, and maybe I broke that rule on occasion. But I think we had a lot of good content here, and I think we had some interesting episodes. I tried to mix it up with the Tech Roundtable. I don't know that I'll do the Google Hangout again like that. I don't think it's advanced enough to make it worth consuming, to be totally honest. For some people, I'm sure it's great for quick little videos or other types of interviews. I don't know. I'm sure it's great for some people, but I wasn't pleased with it, and this is more of an audio form anyway. My parent company says the power of sound, and that's what my entire life making money has been revolved around sound, so we'll just keep it to that. Anyway, more specialty podcasts coming in 2014. I've got a couple ideas in my head. I know, like, George Whittam, for example, is the engineer to the stars. I mean, quite literally, anyone who's anyone in voiceover uses him as their engineer. He builds studios. He knows everything about tech, and he can disseminate that information in a very easy-to-consume manner. He'll be a guest, and we will get real detailed on tech for the VO slash production talent. So that'll be an example. I have ideas to speak with consultants. I'd like to get the consultant side of the industry. I've never done that. I haven't really brought consultants on and really figured out what they're thinking when they make decisions for their radio stations, their clients. And then I mentioned it with SIP, but I do want to get a lot more detailed on the types of work we do. So, for example, get a couple of CHR imagers on, perhaps. Promo voiceover talents together. We'll go a little more detailed like that in 2014, but I'll keep this podcast flowing as people continue to listen and it continues to grow. I'll keep my website going with the blog where I try and, you know, give out quick tips and tricks, product demonstrations. I like to give as many free things as I can, or at least strong discounts on items. So that happens on the blog. And then if you ever have anything that you want to tell the world about, assuming it doesn't suck, I will put it out there for you as well. And again, if you can offer up something for free for the readers and listeners, that's nice as well. Thank you so much for your support in 2013. Everybody, please have a very safe and prosperous new year, a very happy holiday season, and a very Merry Christmas. I will see you on the other side. Next episode coming in probably about 4 or 5 weeks from now. All right, until next time, bye.
This is The Producers. Have a question, comment, or concern? Email Ryan at ryanontheradio.com. The Producers. Thanks for listening.